over here on our organ bench while Jim is recovering. You don't want to see Jim. He's got a mean left hook. But anyway, Lois, we thank you so much. Even though I misspelled your name with the extra E on the end, I apologize for that. But anyway, we thank you for being here while our music dude recovers. Does that mean, Sarah, that she is a music dudette?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Okay. Sarah and I and four of our young people are off to camp today. I know it's supposed to be 100 degrees here, but I'm taking one for the team and going to the mountains of North Carolina just this week, just for y'all. I promise I'll think of you a few times, maybe. Anyway, so we'll be up there at camp at Luther Ridge this week. We did just complete Synod Assembly, and those of our voting members who went, and they're here today, I just really proud of them. You're talking since Thursday, three worship services, three keynote addresses, three Bible studies, plus meetings. I'm glad I get to stand during the sermon because I have fanny fatigue. That's all I got to tell you. But we are so appreciative of them. Kayla Audette was elected as a young adult representative on the Synod Council, and Steve Summer was elected to a committee, the Consultation Committee. And so, and Redeemer was pictured and interviewed and stuff throughout the assembly a lot. What did not happen at this year's assembly was that Sarah did not have to get up and talk to anybody. I don't think you were up there. Were you ever up there?
You. This is a really good cheerleader.
Yeah, you just stood up there. You actually didn't talk. Yeah, and that's unusual for Sarah. And in fact, she liked it so much, she said, don't call on me today because I don't really have anything to say. So she's not going to talk today either. She just said to me, just say to them, read the follow page in your your bulletin. And so on behalf of Sarah, who's not talking in front of you today, read your follow page. And having said that, let us prepare for our worship. Rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift. Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God, confessing our sin. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. to be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, throughout the ages, you judge your people with mercy, and you inspire us to speak your truth. By your Spirit, anoint us for lives of faith and service, and bring all people into your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Can I invite the children forward for the children's sermon? Have you ever been invited to a party? Did you get an invitation for it?
The first lesson is a reading from 2 Samuel. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and you have taken his wife with your wife, had taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, and you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, now the Lord has put away your sin, and you shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die. Then Nathan went to his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became very ill. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is a reading from Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if in our efforts to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. But through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th and 8th chapters. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Let's see.
If you were to ask my older sister about it, she would deny that this ever happened. She says she never did such a thing. And if you were to ask my mother over there, she doesn't remember this incident either, despite my clear memory of it. My sister and I were children at the time. Now, I'm the youngest of 3 children in my family, and I did what most younger children do. I copied my brother and sister. With my brother, it was piano lessons. When he quit, I thought it was the boy thing to do, and so I quit too.
With my sister, it was eggs. Now, I know that sounds silly, but as a child, she didn't like eggs, so I didn't either. We both eat eggs now, but as children, we thought they were the nastiest things this side of asparagus. So when our mother prepared eggs for breakfast, she would put just a little dab of scrambled eggs on our plates, and we were supposed to eat them, which we never did. And the rule in our house was that we couldn't get up from the table until we had eaten our eggs. So there we would sit, long after everyone else had finished and gone, and it wasn't long before we were staring at not just nasty old scrambled eggs, but cold, nasty old scrambled eggs. Then one day, as we sat there, my sister suddenly brightened and said, "Hey, I've got an idea." She looked around to make sure that no one else was in the kitchen, that we were alone, and she picked up her dab of eggs in her hand and went over to the kitchen cabinet where our mother kept a trash can, opened the cabinet, and threw her eggs away. Wow, I thought, what a great idea. They'll think that we ate our eggs and we can leave the table. So I picked up my eggs and I went to the trash can and I threw my eggs in as pretty as you please. And that was when my dear, loving sister said, "Oh." And she opened her hand to reveal that she hadn't really thrown away her eggs. She had kept her hand closed and just pretended. So there we were, me standing there empty-handed by a trash can with my eggs in it, and her there with her eggs. It's a moment frozen in time in my memory, especially since the next words out of her mouth were, "Mom, Gary threw his eggs in the trash can." I guess that's what sisters are for. Of course, the truth is that the situation came out, and in the end, I didn't get the worst of it. Yes, I had been found in disobedience, but my sister had been found out. Oh, we know what that's like, don't we? We know what it is to feel the hot flush of embarrassment at being caught in our own words, at being shown clearly not to be the image we portray of ourselves. Our hearts pound, our minds panic as we look for any exit or escape, and all we can do is stand there revealed for who we really are. All we can do is stand there exposed. Being found in trouble is bad. Being found out is worse. It's a story that has happened before. It happened to David, the king of Israel. You know this story. David had spied Bathsheba bathing, and he wanted her. And his desire for her was more important to him than the fact that she had a husband or what God had commanded. So he summoned her and lay with her. It wasn't long before she sent him word that she was pregnant. And David tried to bring her husband home from the war so that everyone would think the child was theirs, but that didn't work. So David plotted to have her husband killed as a casualty of battle. Then David married her and brought her into the palace and thought that it was at last all over. He thought he had covered up his eggs in the trash can. But it wasn't over. Nathan the prophet came to David for a judgment. That's what kings did in those days. They made rulings about the lives of the people. Nathan said, "There were two men, one who was a rich man with many flocks and herds, and the other poor with one little ewe lamb. He loved that little lamb like a child. It even slept with him. But when the rich man got a visitor, he took the poor man's lamb
and prepared it to feed his guest. Now, what should we do in that situation? Nathan asked. And David was angry at the injustice. He deserves to die, the king answered. But at the very least, he shall restore fourfold. And Nathan simply looked at David, pointed, and said, "You are the man." And David was overcome with guilt and grief. He had thought what he had done was hidden, but it wasn't hidden from God. David had been found out. The same kind of thing happens a lot around Jesus, too. Our gospel lesson tells of a time when Jesus had gone for dinner at the home of a Pharisee, and as they ate, a local prostitute came in, so grieved at her own sin that she bowed at Jesus' feet. Her tears bathed them, and she dried his feet with her hair. Simon the Pharisee began to look down his nose at all this. If Jesus were really a prophet, he said to himself, he would know what kind of woman this is and not let her touch him. And then Jesus said, "Simon, suppose a man had loaned money to two friends and it turned out that neither one could repay him, and so he canceled both debts. One had owed him $500 and the other 50. Which will love him more?" And Simon answered, "The one who owed him more." And Jesus said, "Right. Now look, when I came in here, you didn't welcome me and show me all the normal signs of genuine hospitality, but this woman whom you look down on, she has offered me all she is. You sit there pious and sanctimonious, but she is here, forgiven." And just like that, Simon was exposed. Just like that, Simon was found out. Now you know that the bad news is getting found out isn't confined to stories about eggs or to Bible stories from long ago. It happens now too. As we gather before God, we have to know we don't look so good. We're seen for who we are. Our pretenses are stripped away. We're naked before God and exposed. And just like Adam and Eve all those years ago, all we want to do is run and hide somewhere in the garden, knowing that God has come and that in our sin we have been found out. But the good news is that we're not just found out, we are found. Jesus finds us in our helpless despair, and he finds us in our nakedness, and he clothes us in his love. He clothes us with his mercy and his forgiveness. He clothes us with salvation and grace. We're found by God. Adam and Eve learned in that garden that God still cared and provided for them. David was still God's chosen leader for his people and received God's grace and blessing. And Simon discovered that in God's kingdom, there was room even for a narrow-minded snob like him. And the woman, though her sins were many, got hold of a love, a forgiveness, and a peace beyond understanding. That's the good news, because when we're found out, when Jesus finds us, that's what he brings to us as well. You know, the odd thing is that now as an adult, I actually like scrambled eggs. But maybe that childhood event left some deep emotional scars on me. No. The scars belong to Jesus. And through them we are found. Through his love, we are saved. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Merciful God, you turn your people from stubborn ways and form us with your loving hand. Shape us that we might give your love to the world. Lead us to speak the language of love in all our actions and words. May we live together in welcome and peace and understanding as one people in you. Lord, in your mercy. Father of love, as we celebrate today, worshiping you, remind us that you are our Father. Uphold us, strengthen us, care for us in your wisdom. Give us now and always zeal to be your children. Lord, in your mercy, you speak healing to all your people, loving Lord. Fill us with compassion for those in need. Reach out your hand to the sick, the hungry, the poor, and those who suffer. Bless all in need and all those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, living God, you are the one who gives life. As you have called countless generations to follow you, so now call us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Walk with us and before us, that we might be your people of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you.
And you open your hand in blessing.
Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need.
Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. My sister says no. My sister says no. Yeah, my sister does not believe that at all. Hey, her. Hey, Alan. Okay. Okay. Well, I just tell it like I remember it. Well, most of it. But that's what we do. Yeah. Hey. I can't say anything smart. I don't have that ability. You know. The countertop looks great.
I'm going to go check it out.
Oh, looks really nice. And the windows do too. Yeah. I get a lot of comments on both of them.
We have a stainless steel.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks nice. Hey, now, still.
go till your foot hits a step. Yeah, Larry and